Amen. All right, if you will, it's Bible time, and we're going to take the Bible tonight, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 again. Let's read that as we open, Matthew chapter 6. Let's begin, it says there, verse 5, let's jump down to verse 9. Now, if you have a red-letter Bible, as I do, you will see that these words are written in red. There are other places where Jesus is quoted, but here, these are the words of Jesus himself. And this has been known, again, as we have been doing this series. When I speak, I try to run a series once in a while. And we've been off of this Blueprint for Prayer series for a while, and we're back on tonight. But let's look and see what Jesus has to say as far as a model prayer. That's a better, rather than the Lord's Prayer, we've called it a model prayer. Verse 9. After this manner, Jesus says, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And your translation might read something else, sins and so forth. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What does the word amen mean? So be it. In modern, maybe hippie language, right on. Okay, right on. And I don't know what the kids say today in that specifically, but amen is good enough tonight. All right, let's look quickly. This series of messages, we're looking at the structure of this particular prayer. It's the sample prayer that Jesus gave his disciples, and the other passage there in Luke describes that the disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is what pattern he gave. And we're looking at it as a blueprint for constructing our prayer life. A blueprint is for constructing a house or a piece of equipment. And some of you men here and maybe even women have dealt with blueprints before. And so far, we have broken down the blueprint into these main thoughts. Let's look at those very quickly. They're not large, but we'll just review them quickly. Your note sheet won't have this. But we talked, first of all, about our Father in heaven. That's God's paternity or his fatherhood. Second, we talked about hallowed be your name, just breaking the prayer down into its phrases. That shows us God's person. Hallowed be your name. This is about God himself. And then the third part of the prayer is thy kingdom come. That shows God's program. And there's a definition of God's kingdom come or his program. It describes what God wants to work in your life. God's program shows what God wants to work in your life. And then fourth, thy will be done is God's purpose. The definition of this is why God wants to work in your life. He does want to work, and he has a reason for it. Okay? Then tonight, we're going to get into the how. And you can look at your notes now. And we're talking about God's provision. When it says, give us this day our daily bread. That's our main verse tonight, verse 11. And I'll remind you, it wasn't too long ago, it was Wednesday or the Wednesday night before, we talked about the two different kinds of Bible study. One was inductive Bible study, and one is deductive Bible study. That particular message was deductive. We took a larger passage and reduced it down. You can say reducing. And then, but tonight we're going to take just verse 11 and take it apart and talk about each part of it and expand from it. So that's inductive Bible study. We're looking at a small passage. We're inducing truth out of it. So it's a beginning point that expands out. They're both expository in nature, but it's just a little bit different way of doing it. Either we boil down Scripture to its main parts, or we take Scripture and expand it out for its full meaning. Okay, understood how that works? Okay, let me give you the purpose statement for the entire series of this blueprint. And that is, if we study this blueprint and study and apply each truth in our prayers, that's a big if, we can build the kind of prayer life that will do two things. Number one, that will please God. The Word of God says we need to obey His commandments and do those things pleasing in His sight. When you cover those two things, you're really good with God. Obey the straight commandments and do those things pleasing in His sight. That covers His general will from the Bible, but also covers His specific will. Are you living up to God's will for your life? If you are doing those things pleasing in His sight. So again, the two things that are accomplished by using this blueprint. Number one, you please God. And then number two, you get more consistent answers to prayer according to God's will. And we always qualify that according to God's will. We're not the name it and claim it bunch, okay? We don't say if you pray for something, you're going to automatically get it. No, you'll get it if God wants you to get it, all right? And if it's His will that you get it, or not get it if it's something you don't want. And so that's a good basic statement there. And remember, we're after two things with this blueprint: pleasing God and getting more answers to prayer according to His will. All right, let's get into our note page that I've given you tonight. The main point here tonight we begin with is God's provision. Again, listen to verse 11. He prays, tells us to pray, and sets forth as a model, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to break it down into those sections there. Again, God's provision is, the definition of that would be how God works in our life. He says He wants, we can pray for our daily provision. When Jesus taught us to pray, He gave us a comprehensive blueprint to follow, didn't He? First three requests deal with God's glory. And the last three requests deal with the family, God's family, us. While the petitions to the Father talk about your name, your kingdom, your will be done, the last three requests have to do with us. Give us, forgive us, and lead us. You see the pattern there? So there's three of each. Three for the Father, and then three for us. And then we have the six major sections of this model prayer. Do we pray this, and should we occasionally pray this verbatim? Wouldn't hurt, but it's not the only prayer you should be praying, right? It's an example of the kind of things it should be. When you pray, don't forget to give glory and praise and honor and worship to God the Father, God the Son, and thank the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit. And I always add one more thing. Thank you for the Bible, right? Because without the Bible, we wouldn't know any of this, not a single part of it. And so we thank you that God thought enough of us to get it written down. And I've often talked about the old telegraph game. If we had to transmit God's truth via verbal transmission, we would be sunk. It wouldn't work because it just doesn't come out very well that way. When Jesus said, give us today our daily bread, He was not suggesting only a trip to the supermarket for Wonder Bread. Not only that, surely the bread we need, food and so forth, but He was making the point that it's okay and right to pray for daily needs, all of them. Lord, I need some help today at work. I have a problem at work that I just really need your help. I need your wisdom. That's not bread that you can eat, but it surely is a need, amen? And He meets our needs. And I want to emphasize, He's interested in all of your needs. Oh, that's trivial. I'm not going to bring it to the Lord in prayer. No, 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 no. If it's meaningful to you, it's meaningful to Him. Amen? And that's very, very important to remember. Let's look at letter A under this. And we're going to go through this. There's not a whole lot on the slides except the major ones. We can go to that and get through the next couple slides, if you will, Mike. You know, get to the actual headings for tonight. It should say God's provision. Okay, in your notes, you'll see letter A. You have the origin of the provision of is God. Missing word there in your notes is origin. Where does it come from? The origin of our provision is God. Now, that sounds like what I call a Sunday school answer. You know, you're safe in Sunday school if you say God or Jesus in the little class, because the teacher's always going to ask the question, and more times than not, oh, if you add the Bible, God, Jesus, and the Bible, you are a shoo-in to answer almost all the questions in Sunday school. And we should make it a little more complicated than that. But even though it's a, not a trite, but a common sense sentence, the origin of our provision is God. We cannot emphasize that enough. It's so very important what we look to. Now, are there other origins out there? Are there other forces that want to come into your life and take control? Oh, yes. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if we're not careful, we'll look to those for the origin of our provision. No. Our origin is God himself. And we need to keep it that way. Letter A under this. He is the one understood to be the one who gives. You see the prayer there in verse 11 again? Give us this day. Who give us? God the Father. Now, technically, Jesus is speaking, so he is talking about the Father, the first person of the Trinity, God, Father, and Holy Spirit. He is the one who does what? He gives. He's the giver. I don't know about you, but I haven't thought much about breathing today. And I know I haven't tried to control my heartbeat. And when I walk, I can walk today and haven't thought too much about that. He provides everything, does he not? He does. He's the one who gives. A little quote here, German theologian Helmut Thielke points that out, that our whole life is captured in these requests. Give us this day our daily bread. He says great things, small things. We mentioned that a minute ago. Spiritual things, material things, inward things, and outward things. He says there is nothing that is not included in this prayer. If you need it, you can pray for it. And you can get that answers to prayer. So he is the one to whom we receive the provision, and he is the giver. Letter B, the human reaction too often, though, is that these are two negative things. Number one, we are often self-sufficient. We don't need God's help. We don't need anyone's help. And we talk often about this, but the good old American individualism can get us in big trouble with God and big trouble in our life. The old commercial says, "Mother, I would rather do it myself." Some of us have been around long enough to remember that commercial. "Mother, I'd rather do it myself." We are self-sufficient. And it's all too often the human reaction to God's wanting to provide our needs. Or number two, if it's not self-sufficiency, it's the anxiety and the worry. See, that's just as bad a reaction than being self-sufficient. So again, the two given reactions to God's providence is self-sufficiency and anxiety and worry. We don't need either one of those, do we? Instead, we need to trust in him. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We'll look at that and read it together. Philippians chapter 4. One of the great prayer promises of the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. This is one of the verses we memorized for our youth ministry years and years ago. Verse 6 of chapter 4 of Philippians says, "Be careful," or full of care, "for nothing." That last word negates. Be careful for nothing. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." What are we talking about tonight? Asking God for our daily provision. We're told here not to be afraid to do that. We're to make prayer and supplication, and then don't forget the little phrase, "with thanksgiving," a little prepositional phrase there. What are we to do? "Let your requests be made known unto God." In other words, that's prayer. And I often say prayer is a miracle, is it not? Do you make your prayers leave this room? No, God does. And the Holy Spirit takes part in our prayers. And then the promise in verse 7, if we do that, if we're careful for nothing, and if by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving we let our requests be made unto God, we can claim verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall," not maybe, "but shall keep your hearts and minds," how? "Through Christ Jesus." Folks, that's a very strong command and a promise. the words, be careful there in verse 6, be careful for nothing, that's in the imperative mode there in the original language. We know that that is a command. If it wasn't worded and spelled a certain way, it would say something else. But it's a command. We could say, be ye careful. And it might sound a little bit more like the command that it is, verses 6 and 7 there. Okay? It shall keep or guard your heart and minds, how? Through Christ Jesus. We don't need to react in self-sufficiency or anxiety or worry. He says, be careful. Don't worry about anything. Just sit there and don't worry? No. Turn it to prayer. We need to turn our worries and our anxiety and even our self-sufficiency into submission and prayer to God. And we see that in verse 11 of our text. Give us this day our daily bread. Letter B under this, not only the origin of the provision of God, letter A, is God. B, the timing of God's provision is always perfect. The timing of God's provision is always perfect. It says, give us when? This day, our daily bread. God never promises to take care of everything for tomorrow. And you say, well, Pastor Ken, did we just laze around and wait for tomorrow to happen? No. The Bible has a balance here. Let me quickly go and remind you that one day Jesus and his disciples were walking along the way, and they saw where a terrible accident happened. Someone was building a tower. Remember this? They were building a tower, and they got it to a certain point, and it failed, and the tower fell, and I believe it even hurt people. And Jesus used that view that they saw that day to say, we need to plan better. We need to do what it takes. We need to think things through. And we're to do things decently and in order, Acts 40, 41. And we need to see that. We need to plan. But we do not need to worry. We do not need to be anxious. We do not need to be so self-sufficient that we never ask God for help. If you have a problem asking people for help, you probably have a little bit of an issue asking God to help. And so we need to work on that in our lives. The time of God's provision is perfect this day. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and what will he do? He shall bring it to pass. And we could correctly add, in his time. There's a little chorus we sang a few years ago, in his time, in his time. God sends all things beautiful in his time. You and I, if we're honest, we have trouble with this one. We know God's going to take care of us, but sometimes we get a little anxious, we get a little worrisome even, and we aren't patient, because why? We know God's going to take care of us, but we don't know when. We don't know the timing. Let me remind you that God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows everything. And so nothing is a surprise to him. And so his timing can be trusted because he knows everything. He knows when you're going to get sick. He knows if you're going to get well. He knows it all. And the timing of that is very, very crucial. Again, listen to Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. What's the result? And he shall bring it to pass. We're told to trust him. We're told to trust him. Now, in that provision of how God works in our life, we looked at the origin of the provision and then the timing of it. But now we're going to look at the content. We're going to look at exactly what God does, how he gives us this provision, how he works in our life. Letter C. The content of God's provision is exactly what we need. It's exactly what we need. How does the phrase go? God reserves the very best to those who will trust in him, who will leave the decision up to him. Again, he knows best. We do not. Even in our own life, yes. I don't know what's the best for me. That's why I study the Word. That's why we follow his will and all of that. And so the content of God's provision is exactly what we need. Certainly, bread here in verse 11 of our main text includes all the physical, needs, air we breathe, the food we need to sustain us, and yes, even dessert. Amen? It includes all of it. But other needs could be included, like the need to be safe. Okay? Safe. Safety today. Diana was telling me that in our neighborhood and even all around Fayetteville, people are doing a lot more checking on doors to see if they're open, that they can come in and rob. And they're even checking during the daylight hours now to see whether you've gone off and left your door open. The need to be safe is an important need. How about the need to be loved? I need to be loved. I am loved by God, by the Lord Jesus, by my family. But we have that as our need. How about our emotional and mental needs? We need to be able to think clearly. The Bible says we're supposed to garrison our mind. That word garrison means to put a wall around, a wall of protection. What is that wall made out of? Bible truth. We're to circle our minds and control what comes over that wall using the truths of God's word. Whatsoever things are pure, honest, of good report. What does the Bible say? Think on these things. So we're to garrison our mind. And we've been given the word of God to help do that. Other needs are all supplied by a loving, providing, and protecting God. He takes care, again, of all of it. Certainly it's not just bread, is our comment there. Second thing under letter C, spiritually, God supplies our two most important needs. And this is going to be obvious, but I want to spell it out to you. Our two most important spiritual needs are these. Salvation. We need to know that our sins have been forgiven. Amen? We need to apply the shed blood of the Lord Jesus to our life. Receive the work of the Lord Jesus into our life. Dedicate our life to make him Lord of our life. And enjoy the salvation. Psalm 25, David says, "You are the God of my salvation." And when I'm reading that, I often read that chapter or portions of it to people in the hospital. I like to pause and stop. Is God the God of your salvation? And most of the time, especially if it's a believer, yes, he's the God of my salvation. So salvation is number one. The other most important need spiritually is fellowship. We talked about that earlier with the churches being closed in Canada and so forth. They're lacking the fellowship that you and I enjoy by just being in church. Yes, fellowship with God, but also fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Those are our two most important spiritual needs, and they are supplied. Listen to chapter 4, verse 4 of the book of Matthew. Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word of God." The word of God sustains us. It gives us the strength to know what thus saith the Lord. We can't live on the physical. We can't live just on the emotional, even the mental. We need the spiritual aspect of our life to be very lively. And when you were born again, if you're saved tonight, you were made alive in your spirit. Before that day, every person that is born into this world is born with a sin nature and does sinful things, and has a dead spirit. When Christ is received as personal Savior, that spirit is made alive. And that is a good way to describe that. Man does not live by bread alone, again, but by every word of God. After a discussion about bread earlier in the chapter, of chapter 8 there, Jesus talks to the crowd and his disciples about serving him. Go with me quickly to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. Mark 8. I can find the book of Mark. And 34 through 36. You have it there, Mark 8, 34 says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also," so you got two kinds of people in the crowd, just people from the town and then his disciples, "and he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Then there's a principle he's giving in verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life, again for my sake, that's key there, it's the right kind of losing his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. But what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So here we're talking about the content of God's provision. He pointed out that it's important to know to serve God with what you have in your life. And a quick point under this, under spiritually, letter C is, there is, I just remind you, there is a well-known hymn, and it's entitled, I Need Thee Every Hour. Lord, I Need Thee. And a couple modern songs have been written with that theme as well. We don't need to be more self-sufficient. We don't need more anxiety. We don't need more worry. We need the provision of God. We need the content involved in that provision. Then moving on, let's move to letter D. And we have here the expected return from God's provision. As we look at this prayer, and the prayer in verse 11 back in our text is, give us this day our daily bread. As God does that, he has some expectations in return for us. And this is where we're expanding out from this. And we're going to look at two or three things here under this heading. This is the return of God's from God's provision. What does God expect from us in return for his provision? Let me state that again. What does God expect from us in return for his provision? First thing under this, he expects our trust, number one. He expects our trust. What is trust? Well, trust is to leave what we view as secure and put ourselves at the mercy of another. That's a good definition. Let me state it again. Trust is to leave what we view as secure and put ourselves at the mercy of another. Here's an example. Pastor Dwayne Smith trusts me. Can he control what I say? He can pray about it. He can give direction. He's given me some notes for Wednesday nights and that sort of thing. But he cannot control another person. You can't either. Not even your spouse. Sometimes your spouse wishes they could control you because sometimes you're off the rails. But no one can control you. Only God himself can do that. And, of course, an act of your own will. So the example is Pastor Dwayne Smith drove out of Fayetteville, went up to Ohio, visited with Morgan and Noah for a few days, drove all the way out, saw a baby born. This week they'll be driving all the way back, and it's because he has entrusted the ministry of the teaching and the preaching of Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's awesome. It's very humbling, but he's trusted it to me. There's an example of trust. Again, trust is to leave what we view as secure. And I'm sure Pastor would rather be preaching here tonight in some sense. Of course, he wants to be with his family too. But he would feel a little more secure if he was doing the one preaching. But it says here to leave that security and put ourselves at the mercy of another. And that'd be a good example tonight as we think of that. And so then be under this. I want to give you a testimony as you turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Letter B under this, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is, I've entitled here in my notes, Our Life Verse. A little bit of her testimony. I've given this before. When I first met Diana, she was not a believer. In fact, we prayed for weeks and weeks in our teen prayer service on Wednesday night. We would go in for singing and worship and everything, and we'd break up, and the teens would go pray together, the men, you know, and all that, in our church, in a basement church in Mount Clemens, Michigan. It's called Clinton Township now, but the church has not moved. They just changed the name. But we would pray for a girl at school, a girl named Donna in our youth group, just had us pray for a girl at school. And I've invited her and invited her, just pray that she'll come to church. Well, long story made short, Diana did come, and she got saved. And we prayed for Diana before we knew her name. And I love to tell that part of the story. But as she grew in the Lord, and she had a lot of questions for people in the youth group, for the pastor, studied the Bible herself, and really grilled me on my faith. It was both good for me and very kind of scary, because she would ask all kinds of questions. You have to know that Diana is much smarter than I am. And so she had very good questions, some of which I had to say, I need to check on that. And some I was able to share some principles that were already in my life because of good Bible teaching, good family teaching, and learning the will of the Lord and his plan for us. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, after she got growing in the Lord, and I didn't know, we weren't dating it when she first got saved, and there was a time there where she was growing by leaps and bounds, and then later we were dating, she was asking questions, but we started comparing notes. And often in our youth group, we would say, what is your life verse? You've heard people say that. What is your favorite verse in the Bible applied to your life? Well, come to find out, on her own, Diana had chosen Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And mine for years had been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And don't you think that's a God thing, that God brought us together? Listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Again, that's involved the timing of it too. Not only what the path is, but when you're on that path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Again, it's that trust. Trust in the Lord. How? With all your heart. Doing what? Leaning not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then there's a promise here at the end of this verse as well. End of verse 6, he will direct your path. And I believe the Lord has directed our path. I'm glad it's been together through Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 being our life verse. Let me give you an illustration. At some point with each of our children, I try to remember exactly when, but it's kind of foggy there. But it's been a while. We've been married 53 years now. Bethany's having a birthday today, and she's 49. Makes me feel older. But she didn't feel any older, but I feel older. At some point with each of our children, I would show them they could trust me by having them jump from where they were into my arms. A lot of daddies do this, okay? I've seen shamefully, mostly in TV shows and so forth, where shamefully the father lets the child fall on the floor and say, see, don't trust anyone. Now, that's the opposite of what we're trying to teach, right? It's trust. It came easier, though, with some of our children than others. Some were more trusting just automatically. Others had to be coaxed. And the whole process was rather amusing to me to see the process they went through mentally and even facial expressions. Do I go? Do I not go? Do I trust Daddy? Do I not trust Daddy? And again, it was rather amusing to watch this happen. And I don't think it caused too much mental duress on the children, but you never know how that goes. But this was one way we could try to instill a little trust into Daddy. Another thing we would do, and I didn't plan to mention this, is this goes back to the idea of obeying. We would tell our children, here's one of the reasons that you need to obey me the first time I ask you to do something. What if you were backing up and I saw that you were about to back off of a cliff? And I would say, son, daughter, stop. What if they didn't stop? And I pointed that out to them too. You're going to have to trust me that I'm going to ask you to do something, and we expected our children to respond and do what we ask the very first time we ask. And so don't get me onto the training kids part, because you know what I think about that. Especially when you hear some of the mothers and their children in the grocery store. Honey, stop that. Honey, stop that. Honey, stop that. The kid kind of knows not to obey, but the first time. Again, that's an illustration of trust. D under this, trust is the very heart of our faith in Jesus Christ, is it not? If we don't trust Christ, we don't have Christ. We can know about Jesus, But we don't have Jesus until we trust Jesus. With what? With our eternal soul. With the forgiveness of our sin. We know that we are born in sin. The Bible tells us that. We know we are sinners. We've done sinful things. And if we're honest, we've done quite a few sinful things. We've been disobedient. We've made bad choices, things that go against rules, things that go against the teaching of the Bible and so forth. We know we're sinful. But at the heart of the faith in Jesus Christ is this word trust. And I would rather ask someone, if I'm trying to find out if they're a believer, I would rather ask someone, when did you trust Christ? Are you trusting Christ now? And are you trusting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin? That word trust is so very important here. And that is what God expects us to have in return. Could you be honest enough to say today that you have some trust issues? Don't answer out loud, please. And again, it's either self-reliance or fear, or you will worry, and it will stop you in your tracks. We need to trust. Then secondly, quickly, we are heading right through the message here tonight. Secondly, not only our trust, number one, number two, our loyalty. This is what God expects in return for his provision. By the way, is it a good trade? Absolutely. I mean, we get the forgiveness of our sins. We get the promise of heaven and with the person of the Lord Jesus forever and ever. It's worth it. Amen? Our loyalty, number two. Loyalty is, here's a definition, putting and keeping a commitment to a person or a cause in the highest priority over all other commitments. Quite a few words there, but putting and keeping a commitment to a person or a cause in the highest priority, in other words, top value, first in choice, over all other commitments. That's what loyalty is. Loyalty is something that shows, and you don't hardly have to even think about it. You just follow through. Family. We're loyal to family. You'll do more for a family member than you would for anybody else, co-worker, acquaintance, even another church member. If it's family, you'll go out of your way just a little bit more. And that's important. But loyalty, putting and keeping commitment to a person or cause in the highest priority over all other commitments. Let's look at Matthew 6:33. One of our last references tonight. Go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And verse 33. Again, red letters, words of Jesus. Matthew 6:33, he says, "But seek ye," again, there's that imperative mode of the language, "but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Again, there's a command and a promise. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What these things? If you study the verses prior to this, it's talking about food, raiment, safety, blessings, all of our needs. You'll have those needs covered. You're in Jesus' own promising words here. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is the promise part of that verse. And we can take that that promise, as we like to say, to the bank. And we can count on that. In the same chapter, we can see above here about the commitment to all these things that are mentioned there. Again, do you need something? You need food, you need raiment, you need a job, you need a need in your family. Well, all those things will be taken care of, again, in God's time, this day our daily bread, but be taken care of by God as his will would allow, but if we trust and we are loyal to him. Then number three, okay, quickly, is our obedience. First our trust, then our loyalty, then our obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. This is the prophet speaking to the people there. Let's look at the principle involved here as far as obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all day long. You can come to church, you can worship, you can sing, you can pray, you can even teach a class or whatever. But if you're disobedient in some area of the Bible, you are not right with God. And I can say that with confidence because it's true. Okay? Because right here it says, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken or listen to the word of God than those sacrifices, including all the rams and bullocks and the sheep and goats that were offered as a sacrifice in the Old Testament. All of that is not to be compared with simple, plain, straightforward obedience to what God commands us to do. It reminds me of my very first message at the same church in which Diane and I were raised after her salvation. My first message was given as a training message. Another young man about my age, Bob Harvey, was given 15 minutes, and I was given 15 minutes. And that's how that pastor kind of broke in preachers. And rather than feel like he got to fill 30 minutes, and I've heard Pastor Dwayne talk about that, the first few times he preached, he thought he had an hour message, and he was done in like 10 minutes. And it can happen. I'm past that. I usually fill my whole time up and have some stuff left over. But the very first message I ever preached in my home church was on this issue of obedience. Obedience. And I say simple obedience because you shouldn't do a lot of questioning. If you know God commands it in His Word, or if you are moved by the Holy Spirit of God to do a certain thing, accomplish it for Him, we shouldn't hesitate. There are times we need to pray about things. I understand that. But I'm talking about if you know that God wants you to do something, there is no reason to wait. We need to do it right away. And we need to see that. Tonight, we see these expectations in return to God's provision. We've seen the content of God's provision. We've seen the timing and the origin of that, and we see that God is in it all. And our question tonight is this. Is there an area of your life where you need to be more trusting? You need to look to that provision. You need to be more loyal. You need to be more obedient to God's word. It's very important that we remember to respond correctly when the Holy Spirit moves in our heart using God's word in a message or your own Bible study, some truth that you've memorized from God's word, even as you're driving down the road or at work, and the Lord points out something in your life. We need to be obedient. We need to have that trust. We need to have that loyalty, and we need to give God our obedience. So the question tonight is this. Do you need to trust God in some area of your life? You can apply that question to yourself. Have you been disloyal to the things of the Lord? When you get around people that don't know the Lord, how do you act? Do you act in a loyal way to Him? Or are you just part of the crowd listening in? And I would hope that you're not taking part in dirty jokes and making fun of godly people and so forth. And maybe it's loyalty. Maybe there's some specific area of obedience. You know what God wants you to do, but you just haven't done it. My encouragement tonight, do God's will, and He'll give you the power to do it. Take these verses and these promises tonight with you and apply them to your life, and it'll help your prayer life. The phrase tonight we're dealing with is, give us, God, this day, timing, our daily bread, everything we need. Amen? He's promised to do it, and it says we're to pray about it as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your word tonight as we've sort of taken a small one verse portion of your word and expanded it out. And Father, I pray that you would make us more trusting, make us more loyal, make us more obedient to your word in reaction to all of your provision. Air we breathe, food, clothing, housing, jobs, pleasures even of the fun things. We thank you that you even care about the dessert, Father, and we appreciate that tonight. And thank you for it. I pray that we'll take these words and make the adjustments now in our life that need to be made because of our study tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. One more time with me on Wednesday as we talk about the overview of, we're going to finish up on Hebrews, right? We didn't get Hebrews done. And the next lesson calls to cover the entire book of Revelation. I think I'll leave that one to Pastor Dwayne.